Okay, good evening, guys. Shukar for coming. Try not to keep you too long, but before we start, I just gotta get a little bit off my heart. This past Shabbos, I was at a kiddush. Wasn't so drunk yet, but a guy was telling me. I was talking to a guy. He's like, "Yeah, he has a not religious cousin." And she like put on her WhatsApp status like before Pesach, like, "Thank you to science, we're able to be together for the Seder this year." He's like, "Thank you to science? Is this retarded? Like, where's God in this picture?" And I mean, we could think a lot. Today I was such a heartwarming feeling walking out in my neighborhood, which is very into masks, and no one was wearing masks. I'm like, what happened? Like on Friday, like there was COVID and now there's no COVID. Whatever. It's a hard question, but whatever. Anyway, so Lamaisa, as things progress and we go back to normal, I really think it's important to just, you know, try and express that Hakaras HaTov that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Baruch Hashem, we lived in crazy times and we're getting over it. And the rest of the world is still crazy. And it's an amazing, amazing bracha that we're living in Eretz Yisrael. And we know this is the land that had come in Eine Hashem Lekechaba. And Hine Lo Yonam Lo Yishon Shoimer Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of his land more than any other place in the world. If there's going to be a vaccine, it's not because of the Prime Minister or all of his goons, anything like that. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that his Klal Yisrael should be taken care of. And it's something I think we really need to internalize. And we need to, like, you know, chaval that we're going to walk away, and in a year from now, we're going to forget about the whole thing, and we didn't really grow from it. During the time of, obviously, it was a huge nisayon for everyone, but to try and also walk away and to grow from that and to have something to hold on to. So I was thinking, like, how do you avoid these like crazy people that are like, thanks for science, you know? Thanks, you know, and they're totally forgetting about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And my wife, she should be good and well. She does a lot of work on the computer. And while she's working, she's able to listen to Torah anytime. And once in a while, I walk in and I get to hear the stuff that she's listening to. I think, like Ben Azmanim, I think she probably learned more than me on a daily basis, because she's on the computer for hours and hours, listening to all the shiurim. You know, we're doing whatever we have to do. And anyway, so once in a while, I chop around. So it happens to be last night, I heard two things which were mamish connected, and I thought maybe we could share this with the Olam before we get to talking about everything else we want to talk about. So the first we know, Reb Shaya ben Reb Moshe, he had his yahrzeit on Thursday. So there's this beautiful story, I don't know if you guys heard it. It was a guy back in the day. He lived somewhere in Europe, and he was a good bacher. He tried really hard, and things were looking good for him. And then suddenly, like, people started saying really bad things about him. He got his name really messed over, and it wasn't good. It really wasn't good. He wasn't getting any shidduchim, nothing. And he was like falling apart. And someone said, "Why don't you go to the tzaddik? They go to the tzaddik in Keres Deer. He has nothing to lose. A couple of bucks to get on the train. He goes to Keres Deer, and there's a big line outside Reb Shaya's house. And it's not moving, can't get in. So he turns to someone, he's like, "Oh, this guy's name was Moshe Weiss. And he's like, "What's going on over here? Why is it?" Well, so they say, "Reb Shaya is waiting for someone." So who is he waiting for? He's waiting for Moshe Levice. Says, "Ah, Moshe Levice." It's like, "Get in, we're all waiting for you." He goes in. Reb Shaya looks up. "Oh, Moshele. He says, "Moshele, it's been so hard for you." I don't know if he started crying with him. And then he turns to him. He's like, "It's time for you to move on. You go to a different town." He told him which town to go to. He says, "I want you to take care of this. There's a handicapped kid over there. You're going to take care of him. And everything's going to be good." And then Reb Shaya looked him in the eyes and says, "Moshele, I am going to be with you for the rest of your life. I'm with you. You're going to have bracha, you're going to have arichas yamim, I'm going to be with you." And kachava, he moved on, He went to this town, and Baruch Hashem, things turned around. He was able to get married, and everything was good. And then the Holocaust came. He ended up, I think Hungary was one of the later countries, really towards the end. And he ended up going to one of the camps. He survived, and he moved to Canada after the war. He got married over there. And during the war, a lot of people lost a lot of their Yiddishkeit. And he was one of those casualties. His name was now Howard Weiss, living somewhere in Canada. And he ends up being in some terrible car accident. And his wife is called. The doctor tells him, you have maybe a few hours. You better come down. And she came down. She saw what a mess. She couldn't even stay. She left the hospital. An hour or two later, she gets a call. It's her husband on the phone. He's like, there's 15 minutes to Shabbos. Can you please come and get me? She's like, what? They weren't religious at the time. She's like, I'm coming. She comes. She thought it was like a prank call or something. She sees her husband was up. He was gone a few minutes ago. He's up. She said, what happened? He said, I was dead. And I was up there. And I saw Reb Shaila. And I turned to Reb Shaila. Reb Shaila, you told me you're going to be with me. You told me I'm going to have Arichas Yomim. I'm only 55 years old. He says, I told Moshe Leweiss that you're going to have Arichas Yomim. You're not Moshe Leweiss. I don't know who this Harold Weiss is. So he says, Rabbi, I promise. Tell me what I need to do. He says, you promise to keep Shabbos every week? I'm still with you. Said. He woke up. He went back and he kept Shabbos for the rest of his life. Baruch Hashem, he was zeichet to Arichas Yomim, like Reb Shaila promised him. So that was one story. Cool, geschmack, Reb Shaila. Then there was another, more modern day rabbi. I was heard of Reb Zachariah Wallerstein. He's a good man. He's doing a lot of wonderful things for Klal Yisrael. So, some stories, he says, you know, he makes up stories. He hears stories. He's like, this one happened to me, so you could trust me on this one. Okay, and he deals with lots of troubled girls. I think some guys or their boyfriends sometimes also, but I think that's most of the guys that he deals with. But if you need to talk to him, he could probably talk to you also. But Lamaise, he deals mostly with a lot of troubled girls. And girls, you know, besides for guys, we have our troubles, but girls, like in Mamish, it's like, you know, emotional messes and all their problems. And he had one girl who was dealing with a lot. She had a lot of issues. And a lot of times she contemplated committing suicide and doing all the stuff and whatever. He was always there for her, being mechaziker. She calls him up and she's like, Rabbi, I can't move. I feel horrible and I have black and blue marks all over. And no one's been beating me up. And he's like, that's a very strong sign. He didn't tell her this, but that's a very strong sign of leukemia. Leukemia is something that attacks the blood, it attacks the liver. And he said, you got to go to hospital right now. She goes to a hospital, some small hospital in New York. And they pretty much thought it was leukemia. They told her, we think you have leukemia, you need to go for tests. And she calls him. He's like, I want you to go to Columbia. Columbia's got the top doctors. We'll get clarification there. She comes in. They take the tests. They're like, you're a goner. It's like if you have marks all over your body like this, like it spreads so much. They gave her like a 95% chance that she's leukemia and she's really not in a good state. She calls up the rabbi. She's like, Rabbi, you gotta help me. He's like, you always wanted to die. She's like, no, I just said that. I don't want to die. And like, you know, it's funny. Whatever, everyone reacts differently. But Lamaisa, he's like, what do you want from me? I'm not a doctor. She's like, you got your rabbis. Call your rabbis. I need help. So he says, you know, I know some Mekubalim and some holy rabbis in Israel. He didn't want to give out the name of who it was, but he, you know, we have our suspicions. And he called up one of the big Rabbanim that he's close to in Eretz Yisrael. He just said her name. he told this Rav, she needs refuah shleima. So the Rav says, she's having trouble with her blood. And then he said, tell her, if she wants to have refuah shleima, she has to be mekabel that she's keeping Shabbos. So he calls his girl up. He says, I spoke to the Rav. He's willing to give you the bracha. You need to keep Shabbos. She's like, Shabbos? I can't do Shabbos. She's like, tell the rabbi, I'll take off every single one of my piercings and I'll keep kashrus. I can't do Shabbos. He's like, okay. I don't mess with these mekubalim, but you know, she, fine. So he calls Eretz Yisrael. He said, she says she can't do Shabbos. She'll do the piercings, she'll do the kashrus. The Rav's like, if she wants to live, she better keep Shabbos. Okay? Tell her, that's it. It's Shabbos or nothing. He calls her back. You want to live? Fine. Since this was, Pesach was Shabbos? Whatever, not a Shabbos? This was the Thursday night before. She went for tests. They came back on the first morning, Chol HaMoed. They said they didn't see anything in her blood. But it's not a confirmation because we have to test the actual liver, because it might be in the liver, but it's not in the blood yet. It hasn't spread over to the blood yet. So that required another battery of tests. She got the results right after Pesach. The girl did not have any cancer in her. Some random sickness, whatever, take some medicine and she's all good. Her mother was now makabel. She's accepting 10 minutes before Shabbos. And Baruch Hashem, this girl has kept Shabbos since, and her whole life is different, the whole family is different, and everything's different. And I heard both these stories about Shabbos and how it's changed people's lives. And I started thinking, like, you know, if Baruch Hashem were moving on from this disease that has, you know, taken over the world, maybe one thing we could walk away with is a commitment to Shabbos. And I'll explain why. You know, it's a funny thing in America. Like, when we went to Pennsylvania, so I had to go to, you know, we didn't really trust the tests that were going on campus for some reason. I'm not sure what happened to most of them. But because of my unique situation that I was trying to get back before Rosh Hashanah, so I needed to get real tests and real results and stuff. So I went into town, and we took tests over there. And before, when you first check in, so it had you had to, like, you know, type in your name, your ID, and your gender. So there was male, female, and other. And it was my first time. We hear of this stuff all the time, but it was like my first time. I really wanted to push other, but I didn't. But, you know, and then we have this wonderful demented president who, you know, decided to make new laws that you could actually have men participating in women's sports. And soon, you know, my in-laws just bought some place in Florida, which is like an over 55 residence, you know. David was there for Pesach. Okay, whatever. So anyway, you know, it's a bunch of these old people. And I'm thinking, like, if I feel like 55, could I just move in there also? Might happen soon, I guess, you know. If you feel like a female, you could just participate in female sports. I'm sure you could feel like a lot of things, and soon you'll be able to do it. But I read a book many years ago about someone who went, a survivor of the Holocaust. He went through the whole Russian system, and he said over there, Russia, you have to realize, okay, today women wear pants, but back in the day you would be arrested if you're wearing pants. In Russia, one of the things about communism was men and women all wore the same clothing. At least I'm saying in the government. That was the first thing that, like, hit him. Like, the women and the men were totally equal. And why is that? Because communism is a world without God. And you're basically, what is a world without God? You're saying, this whole thing's an accident. Why are we here? I don't know how we got here. We just got here, right? And everything just happened, so who cares? You're a guy, you're a girl, you're this, you're that. It's all the same, right? We're all equal. And the more that there's no God in your life, the more that this is just like a mistake, so the more you could understand why men are women, women are men, you know, it's a nice hefker bathroom. So the point is, if you have God in your life, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you,
there's a purpose. There's a purpose why you're here, why she's here, why you have to be a guy, why you have to, why she has to be a girl, why you're 20, why someone else is 30 or 50. Hashem has a cheshbon of exactly why you are here in this generation as you are in this family, right? The point of making everything hefker is just to take Hashem out of the picture. And so, Mamela, how do we mechazik ourselves? Every single Shabbos. Every single Shabbos, we say Vayichulu, we're giving Eidus. We're giving Eidus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days. Everything has a purpose. Hashem rested in the seventh. And it's brought down in the Svarim that every time that we say Vayichulu, we're giving another week to the world. Be'emes, the world should be over after 1 week. The Aruch Chaim says that we're creators with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem now brings us in as a shutif. I've heard that it's a special segula that while you're saying Vayichulu, since you're now a shutif in the creation of the world, you want to ask Hashem for something at that time. It's a very auspicious time because you're a creator. You're joining Hashem in the creation. But that only works if you believe God created the world. So once a week, we're mechazik ourselves with our emunah, with our keeping Shabbos, that God creates the world and God is in charge of every single thing that happens. And we know one of the big things about Corona is that nothing is sure. Nothing is certain anymore. Right? People, it's chasana, hopefully on this day. Maybe, where, don't know, call this number. Right? That's what Corona taught us. Corona taught us we're not in charge. Some people think it's science in charge. But obviously that's not true. And the more that we now instill HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, hopefully we'll be able to walk away from this and say, I actually grew from this. So perhaps these stories could share as being some sort of chizuk for us and something perhaps that we should work on and walk away from. We know Klal Yisrael Shabbos was one of the things they got right after they came out of Mitzrayim. They went to Maror. Shabbos is one of the big things that's a prerequisite. It's a stepping stone. The Torah was given on Shabbos. So there's something very deep that connects Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Shabbos. Now, that wasn't really what I wanted to speak about, but we're almost done. I just wanted to share a Gemara very quickly. I heard most of this part that I want to share with you is from Rabbi Meiri Rav Yehuda Wagshel Shlita, who the Olam is Zoicha to have in the yeshiva. He speaks here. And the Olam Shechap Rain. But many years ago, I was in a shir in the Mir, and I heard a lot of Torah at those times, and I want to share a little bit with you. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama. Kuf Yud Zayin. There's a story of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana had he gave a certain psak and he got into trouble for it, and he had to run for his life. So Rav Kahana had lived in Bavel. He ran to Eretz Yisrael, and he comes to the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael? Rabbi Yochanan wrote the Shas Bavli, and Reish Lakish ran the yeshiva. He was like, you know, you got the feher from Reish Lakish, and then you got into Rabbi Yochanan Shir. So Rav Kahana comes. Amalu Reish Lakish, Hecha Amrule. Amai Amalu, Hai Kusha, Vahai Kusha, Vahai Peruka, Vahai Peruka. So he asked him, what do you have to say on this? And he gave him questions, he gave him answers, they spoke in learning. And Reish Lakish was very impressed. Also, Reish Lakish, Amalu Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish goes to Rosh Shiva Rabbi Yochanan and he says, Ari Olavi Bavel, a lion has come up from Bavel. When the Chazanish came to Israel, they said the same Lashon. Rav Chaim Moses sent a letter to the Rabbanim over here, and Ari has come from Europe. And so they said, Choshev Talmud Chacham has come, L'machar, Oisvei Bedara Kama, Kamed Rav Yochanan. So the yeshiva was full of benches. The more Choshev you were, so you sat in closer to the Rosh Yeshiva. This was an old school, okay, back in the day. The weaker guys sat in the back. Now they have to put the weaker guys in the front, or whatever, they work it out. But Bekitzer, so they put this Ari, Rav Kahana, they put him in the front. Omar, Shmaitza, V'loy Akshi, Shmaitza V'loy Akshi. Rav Yochanan said Shmaitza, he said Halacha, he said something, and Rav Kahana didn't say anything. He said another thing, and I'm saying that the G'dayim would always fight with each other. And here he's saying things, and Rav Kahana wasn't commenting. So like, okay, I don't know who this guy is. He's so chashuv, he doesn't seem to have anything to show. So there were 7 rows in front of Rav Yochanan. And each time, they put him back another row. The next day, he didn't say anything. They put him back another row, until he's in the back of the Beis Medrash. So L'maisa, he had run away from Bavel because he felt he needed some sort of kapara. He felt, once I'm kicked to the back of the base of Medrash, that's my kapara. It was 7 years. He said 7 years should be like seven rows. And then he started making noise. So they put him in the back. And then first Rabbi Yochanan turned to Rish Lakish, this is the lion that you're talking about. And then Rav Kahana started asking questions. Omer Shmaitzel, Va'akshi, Ukme Bidarakamo. So he had a good question. Rav Yochanan was very impressed. They moved him up a row. And then he asked another question. They moved him up another row. Until his mom was sitting up all the way in the front. And then Rav Yochanan was sitting on a bunch of pillows. It was Rosh Shiva. They gave him a nice big chair. So each time Rav Kahana asked another question, Rav Yochanan said, take out another pillow. Until his mom was sitting on the floor. And at that point, he said, this guy is such a great Talmud Chacham, I want to see him. And Rav Yochanan had very long eyebrows. He was kamat blind. So he asked that they should open up his eyebrows so he should be able to take a little look at Rav Kahana. And Rav Kahana had some sort of cut on his lip. And when Rav Yochanan looked at him, it looked like he was like laughing at him. It looked like he was smiling at him. And Rav Yochanan took it at, like, because he asked all these questions and now I'm sitting on the floor, so he was like laughing at me. Rav Yochanan was hurt. He had chalishas hadas. And Rav Kahana died. The next day, Rav Yochanan mentioned, you know, this chutzpah, this Talmud Chacham comes to Bavel, he's laughing at me. Like, Rebbe, he wasn't laughing at you. He had a split lip. He's like, what? He wasn't laughing. At chalishas hadas, he died because of that. So he asked his Talmidim if they could bring him to Rav Kahana's burial place. He was buried already. He said he wants to daven, that he should have Tchiyas HaMesim. And they brought Rav Yochanan there. And they said, make room for the Rebbe to come into the Talmud. There was a snake in the front, like we learned in Baba Metzia. And the snake wouldn't move. They said, let the Chaver come in front of the Chaver. He's a Talmud Chacham, Rav Yochanan's a Talmud Chacham. Let Rav Yochanan come in. Snake wouldn't budge. So then they said, let the Talmud come in front of the Rebbe. And the snake moved away. Rav Yochanan was able to come in, and he davened, and he was zeicha, and he brought him back to life. So, why, Talmud? How's he a Talmud? He sat there for many days, he didn't ask any questions, they didn't have any discussions, yeah? Then finally, he was in the back of the Beis Medrash, and he started asking questions. And they moved him up. How did Rabbi Yochanan become a Talmud of Rav Kahana? This is real, I'm saying. They said, let the Talmud come in front of the Rebbe, and then he was given permission, he was able to come into his kever. Which meant Rabbi Yochanan was mamish a Talmud. How was he a Talmud? What did Rav Kahana ever teach him? So with that, I'd like to share with you a Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara says that the Talmidim in Bavel, Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel, used to stand up for each other. And besides for standing up for each other, they would even raise kriya on each other. Why would they raise kriya on each other? So Rashi says like this. Rashi says, this is a Gemara in Lamed Gimel and Bava Metzia. Kedin Talmud L'Rav. They would stand up for each other like a Talmud in front of the Rav. L'fisha yu yoshim Talmud Beis HaMedrash. They were sitting always in the Beis Medrash. Yachad, umakshim, umefarkim. And they would ask questions, and that would cause them to answer questions. V'kulam lemeidim zemizeh. And they would all end up learning from each other. And Rabbeinu Chananel takes it a step further. He says that just like a Rebbe tries to get his Talmidim to learn, so by the guys in the Beis Medrash asking questions to each other, that caused that each Talmud ended up thinking more what he had to explain, and he got a better clarity, and Memela, his Chavrusa was considered like his Rebbe. And this is what Rav Lakshaw, I think he wanted to say from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that Pshat in the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva is that they didn't have respect for each other. Of course they had respect for each other, but they didn't treat them like Rabbeim. They treated them like Chaverim. They had a lot of respect for each other. But we're learning from these Gemaras that if someone asks you questions and makes you think better and makes you work on your pshat and get more clarity, he's not just a chaver. He's your Rebbe. You stand up for him. In Babel, they raised Kri on them. They considered them like their Rebbe. And that's Pshat over here as well. They didn't treat them like their Rebbe. And I think the Olam has to think about this a lot more. The famous Gemara of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, when he finally came back to his wife, and he said, Shaliv v'shalcha shalah. That everything that I have and that all of you, 24,000 Talmidim have, it's all hers. What's Pshat? It's all hers. So we all think, Pasha Pshat, she was the one that sacrificed so much and Rabbi Kiva was able to grow. I think it's more than that. And I had we one time had this discussion in Shir, and a Talmud told me this Pshat, and then I spoke to Adam Godo about it, and he was masking me. He said, it's Mamash Emes. Said, there's a famous Pshat from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael says that Rabbi Kiva had gone to yeshiva. He knew stuff. There's different Gemaras that are Masha that Rabbi Kiva actually was holding. But he realized, learning's not for me. And he left yeshiva. So if learning's not for you, so there's a really hot girl, yeah? And she's got a lot of money. And she goes over to you and she's like, Akiva, I see greatness in you. I would marry you if you devoted your life to Torah. So what would you say? Listen, girl, you're really cool. You have a lot of money. I've done this. I went to yeshiva. It didn't work. I'm not going and wasting my time there. He was in yeshiva. He left. It didn't work. And yet, he's like, oh my gosh, yeah, really? I'm going to go. And that's what happened. Rabbi Kiva came to Gadol Hadar. Right? But what's Pshat? Why didn't he just turn Rachel down? It's like, it's really nice that she saw wonderful things in him, but why was he even maskim? He had left yeshiva. So this guy didn't have a lot of self-confidence. And he's like, maybe because Rachel believed in him. I think Reb Yisrael Reisman also says this in a Sefer. I'm not sure where he brings it down from. He says that Rachel gave him the encouragement. She's like, she thinks that I could really learn? I'm going to go back to yeshiva. And then the rock inspired him and all of that. But the point is, there was someone that for the first time in his life, he saw, she really believes I could do it. And he's like, if she believes I could do it, and she's, you know, she's got all that money and everything, fine, I'm going to go. And he went. So, Shaliva Shalcha, Pshat is, she's my Rebbe. She's the one that made me into who I am, not because she dedicated that I should go to yeshiva. She's the one that made me grow. That's what, Rebbe gives a good shir. There's some Rabbeim that think they're a good Rebbe because they give a good shir, right? Tachlis, we know that that's not the point of a Rebbe, right? If he gives a good shir, no one's listening, so shkayach, you know? Yeshiva pays you a lot of money for giving your geshmak shir and they'll put on Torah anytime, but tachlis, you're not a Rebbe in this yeshiva. You're someone else's Rebbe, right? In the end of the day, you're a Rebbe if you're able to help your Talmidim grow. And that's what every single one of you guys are. When you come to the Beis Medrash on time, so many times guys like, well, oh, there's no one here. Walk out. Yeah? So what if there were 10 guys here? Schmoozing. Okay, but there's some guys here, right? So if you're here, so other people come in and they learn because you were here, you're their Rebbe. And you come over to them, you ask them a question, and they actually think about something, come up with an answer. So you're their Rebbe. And every single time we're there, we're making noise, we're encouraging other people, you're their Rebbe. So, Mitzvah Hashem, if there's one thing we could work on during the Svira, Avad the Shabbos, and Avad the having respect for each other, but not just together Talmidim. Together, you're our Rebbeim, you're inspiring us, we should all be Zeichet to inspire each other, and Zeichet to Kabbalah Satayra, Shkayach.